Blog Talk Radio.
The Diva Squad. Diva Squad. Diva Squad.
And on Wednesday, I listen to G2 Palace Radio with the Diva Squad. Diva Squad. Diva Squad.
Hey, what's up, y'all? This is Shay. And I want to say I love chilling with the Diva Squad on Wednesdays, talking about I love things. Shout out to the G2 Palace. It's Buddy Bear.
Buddy Bear. Buddy Bear. Buddy Bear. Buddy Bear.
Hey, hey, it's Selena. If you haven't heard, the best place to be is chilling with the Diva Squad on Palace Radio. Love Fantasy. It's Buddy, Buddy, Buddy.
The Diva Squad. Squad. Squad.
This is Kylisha, and on Wednesdays, I listen to the Diva Squad on GQ Palace Radio. Stay here.
To the EX, all of my exes mad cause they was playing, so I hit my homegirls and told them I can't stay in. Try life stuck on me, that's how I seen. Stepping out, dying to rocks, no supreme. See, it took about an hour just to fit it in these jeans, and I don't see no way in the future, all the same. I bet you wishing that you had me back, and on my frame now when they catch a track. So could you please holler at me when the cash is set, and I heard the new girl that you have is whack. I got that where, what it's foul, what you hollering about, money talk, keep quiet, baby, let your dollar shout, and I got what you want, bet I'm never running now.
The Diva Squad is in the building. I am one of your hosts, Storm,
And with me, I have our fellow host, ladies. Are you in the building, both of you beautiful ladies?
Yes.
Yes.
There's smoke betters in the building.
Ray Queen is
all right,
in the
all
building.
Right. All right, all right. Hey. So welcome back. Yes, thank you. I will. Yes, yes, yes. Okay, yes. Mm-hmm. How's that? Testing 1, 2, 1, 2.
Much better. Yes, microphone check.
So welcome to another episode. Welcome back to another episode of GQ Palace Love Fantasy with the Diva Squad. We are here every Wednesday, same time, same place, same phone number, of course, number to call, 563-999-3577, where we definitely here to, you know, not entertain you, but just give you the real deal on what's going on in everyday life and everyday topics, everyday struggle, and just to present different scenarios to you. As you sit back and enjoy the show, you do have to call in and press that one button to be able to go on the air and give your opinion or any feedback you might have about the topic. Tonight we're definitely going to hit you nice and hard, nice and heavy with a wonderful topic that is definitely near and dear to everyone, I'm sure. So with that, how are you ladies doing?
I'm doing all right. I can't complain, but I won't. Yeah.
Know
how that.
Who's
that call? That's my sentiments exactly. Who was that? It wasn't Miss Mo Better.
That's the girl Storm. That's the girl Storm. That is the girl Storm. I will admit, it is me. I got a tickle in my throat. It just won't like come out. I was trying to like talk real fast to do the open so I could get the tickle out, but then it still didn't work. So yeah, so it's your girl Storm. I'm a little under the weather, but I'm good. I'm good. A little under the weather, but I'm good. I'm blessed. I'm thankful. Happy to be on the among the land of the living. But that was me.
Yes. All right.
I want to point out real quick though that both of y'all was like, It's not me. It was funny. Both of y'all was like, that's not me. That's not your girl, Miss Mobetta. That's not your girl, Ray Queen.
I've been coughing. I ain't even going to lie. I've been coughing. But I have allergies. You know, a lot of people do.
Yeah.
So we just don't want to get that stuff twisted. Everything is not COVID. Sorry.
Yeah,
sorry,
nah,
folks.
Nah. I get the same thing every...
There's still other things that exist. You know.
Right.
So no disrespect to you, Storm. No disrespect. Yours could have been some other kind of cough, like a hookah cough or something. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, nah. It's every year.
I'm just putting out possibilities. That's all.
Yeah, every year, same thing. You know, for those of you who's in, it is flu season, no matter what you know, but I don't got the flu, but I'm just saying every year I do get like a common cold or whatever. To tell you the truth, when we had that storm, I think it was like last week, Wednesday, I think it was, my bed is right where the window is, and we slept with the window open. So ever since then, I haven't been right with this funny little cough type thing.
That's bad.
I haven't been right with it. That night air just didn't, you know, do me, you know, and anybody know me, though, I work, you know, I'm like the Jane of many jobs.
Right.
You know, it's hard to get a rest from time to time, but that's what happened in that little tickle, is that literally we slept with the window open, and I'm not that night person where the window and fan is on. I'm that person that got on a onesie with a, you know, a hoodie on it underneath the blankets and the sheets. That's me. So... I just gave you a whole visual, right? I know.
an entire picture.
See you now. Oh my God.
It's a night air though. But I'm good.
Yeah, well, but I would like to give a birthday shout out real quick to my Uncle Skate and my cousin Sakia. Happy birthday.
Oh, bye. Yeah.
And to whoever else is celebrating a birthday, and this is still Virgo season, right?
Where are we? September. Oh, birthday shout out to my niece, Shaniqua, my god sister, Janet, and big ups to my daughter. She is on her last year of college. She is so independent now, and I don't even know what's going on with her. She won't, you know, she only calls when she needs me. So I guess I should be thankful and grateful. She made it to college, and she's doing great and awesome. Big shout-out to Nia. Flashy, we love you, baby.
Yes. Listen, learn to cut the, start cutting the strings now, slowly. There's going to be a time when your children no longer need you. And it's hard for some parents. It's hard for parents that actually are there for their children. You know, that's not an easy thing to do. So that's why I'm telling you.
Yeah. Okay, thanks, Ms. Mo. Thank you. I needed that encouragement. Yes, because I'm like, my baby.
Well, I'm gonna be honest with you. I don't know. I don't know if I'm ready for that one. You know, I want to prepare for that day of which I'm no longer here. You know, so that they could, you know, fend for themselves. You know, without me. But I just, I don't know. It's something about it. I mean, I got both the girls in college now, and both of them are going for nursing, so I'm definitely feeling super excited about that. Yeah, you know,
got a double nurse.
Feeling excited about it. And you know what's funny is nursing was something that I always wanted to do about 5-6 years ago, and 10 years ago is when I first started, like, you know, talking here, talking there, and then like 5 years ago, talking here, talking there, you know. And then the devil got busy, and God had different plans for me, and, you know, things didn't work out in that, you know, in that favor, you know. But now it's like, when I think about it, I'm like, well, look at this. Look at God working it out right here. You know, we got the two young ones that are going to school for nursing, and, you know, and it's time for me to, you know, like, figure out my life. And I must say, being 40-plus, it's hard to figure out what you're going to do at this point in the game when you've been a mom for so long. You know, when I told that to one of my friends, they're like, are you serious? Like, it's time for you to do you. And I'm like, no, it doesn't feel the same. You know, like, I've been a mom since I was 15. So for this one, like, this point in my life to have two college kids, you know, I'm kind of like, what the hell is going on here? Like, what am I going to do with myself? So, yeah, so y'all going to have to give me some advice on how to pick up the pieces, you know, when you don't have no more little kids in the house.
we'll save that for another show because we have a lot of different ideas we can do, you know, for y'all
to
do.
Oh, Lord.
At 50
answers. Well, Rich Money will be 50. I'm not 50 now. I'm just saying. I'm not 50. I'm 40 plus. Rich Money going to be 50. But with that being said, the phone lines are definitely lit up. Ha! I have to clarify that. The number to call is 563-999-3577. And we do have a topic this evening. Like I said, that's near and dear to our people. So we're actually going to talk about, well, do you guys have any other announcements you want to say first, by any chance?
No, I not right now.
None other that I can think of. None other. Mm-mm.
Okay, nope. So with no more announcements, we can actually go into our topic this evening. The topic that we're going to be talking about this evening is going to be about addiction and all aspects of addiction, not just a drug addiction. You know, we want to touch every aspect of addiction that we are familiar with, that we have heard of. You know, we definitely want to use it as an educational topic tonight. I know you ladies have a lot of different inputs on the addiction. So who wants to start first, ladies? Dun, dun, dun. Dun, dun, dun.
Well, I'll start. Yep, y'all know how I do. I'll start. So this topic came up tonight. You know, we ponder together and come up with stuff all the time. But this one is in lieu of Kay Williams passing away. May he rest in peace. And, you know, he was the actor that was on, he played on The Wire. He played on The Wire. He played on a few HBO series. You know, he was a renowned actor, you know, and a lot of people have worked with him, and it really touched a lot of people. I've been going through Instagram and stuff all day just watching, and Cheryl Lee Ralph put up a post on Instagram today, which was very profound, because, like she was saying, drugs, all of that stuff now is different. It's so different. You don't know what they're putting in it. You don't know, you know, any of that stuff. You don't know what it is, you know. So you have to be very careful now, you know, as far as using drugs. It's sad because, not just for him, plenty of people that have passed away from drug overdoses. That I have people in my own family that passed away from drug overdoses, you know. But the power of addiction doesn't come just from using, it comes with selling also. Now, I don't want to just make it about drugs. We're going to do addiction, period, where addiction is when you overindulge in anything. So then
right.
it becomes habitual. So there's sexual addiction. There's money addiction. There's laziness addiction. There's alcohol addiction. There's procrastination. There's so many different types of addiction, you know. I'm giving everybody homework right now. You look at yourself in the mirror when it's just you and you, and ask yourself, like, am I addicted to anything? Start checking yourself. And what am I addicted to? Am I addicted to something? Am I an overworker? Am I addicted to work?
I'm addicted to
you
something.
Know what I'm, am I addicted to being bossy? Am I addicted to whatever?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Go ahead, Storm. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was seconding what you're saying. No, you got the floor. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, okay. No, I'm just putting stuff out there because a lot of times
mm-hmm.
it's easy to point the finger at a drug addict, even at a drug dealer too. It's easy to point that stuff sticks out a lot more than other stuff do. But the same ones that are pointing their fingers have those same three other fingers pointing back at them. But they don't want to tell their story. You know what I mean? They don't want to tell their story. It's always him, them, or they. Never me. So, you know, there's so many things. And what it is now, people need encouragement. Now, they're out there giving Narcan for lives, but you're not, that doesn't come with any kind of other instructions for after the fact. Like any kind of encouragement. Like, listen, here's Narcan, and here's a place where you can go to get yourself some help. You understand what I'm saying? Like, there's not a lot of, there's not really even a lot of even resources anymore for people with addiction. And I'm kind of addicted. You know, people are afraid to go into churches because because of religion. Religion has people blocked. Like, nobody wants to deal with that. You know what I mean? Because I know my church has a Christ-based recovery program, and my church is non-denominational, so it has nothing to do with religion. It's all about, you know, having a personal relationship with Christ or with God, you know. So it's helped, but people just got to start checking yourself first.
I think that's the first problem, though, is that sometimes identifying with the actual addiction, you know, identifying that there is a problem, I think that's the first
first
step to any addiction, I believe. You know, for me, myself, for any type of recovery, I feel like you have to accept that there is an issue first. And once you can accept that there is an issue, then that means you need to, you know, so that's my, you know, my little input on it. And I was, like, co-signing what you were saying, you know, because I completely agree with everything that you were saying. That's why I was like, oh, yes, you know, yes, you know, the assignment of, you know, look in the mirror and do you have an addiction to anything, like, look in the mirror, you know. It's like, yes, right, I was agreeing with you. But real quick, ladies, Ray, before you go, we do have a caller. Caller, welcome to the Diva Squad.
Hi, ladies.
Caller,
it's Janine. How are you?
Hey.
Welcome, Janine.
Hey, how's everybody?
All right.
Good. I was listening to that topic, and I agree with what you were saying, Ms. Mobetta, that you do. You got to look at yourself but and recognize that there is an issue. But I think even further than that, you know, a lot of times addiction starts because something happened in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Something tragic, something drastic. And a lot of times that something that happened is never dealt with.
Mm.
And so even trying to go ahead and get help for the addiction, you've never addressed the root cause. What caused the addiction?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Something happened.
That's true.
Something happened in your life that got you down that path. And you've never addressed it. You just pacified it. You just masked it with this addiction, but you still have to address the root cause.
Absolutely. You know what? Again, it's profound to even say that because when people look at pedophiles, and it, as disgusting as it sounds, something's happened to them that made them think that it was okay for them to do it to somebody else. You know, and you will have to actually sit and listen to somebody else's story in order to really understand where they are. Where are people?
No, baby.
Why would you be addicted to something like that?
Mm-hmm.
I want to play devil's advocate real quick with you guys, just real quick, because Jimmy, you mentioned something, and I'm sure everyone's heard it several times that, you know, something might have happened to that person, you know, that made them, you know, pursue different things, let's just say, because it doesn't always have to be drugs. It could be, you know, sexual abuse. It could be anything. So do you guys feel like that's a true statement, you know, because as you speak to different people, like, they'll swear up and down that nothing ever happened. Like, they can't identify with what happened to them that made them the way that they are. So do you guys believe that that's true, or do you guys do you know people who have experienced it? Like, what are your thoughts about that?
I do. This is very interesting.
Hold on one second. So, ladies and gentlemen, I do see the messages that you're putting in there. You do have to call in 563-999-3577 and press 1, able to go on the air, or I'll just read your topics. That was one of the topics. That was one of the questions that they had, so that's why I just read it to you. So
go ahead, guest.
You guys can go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And something like not so drastic as a drug addiction or a sexual addiction, but let's just take eating, for example. My mother ate a lot and was very heavy, and it was because her mother wouldn't let her eat what she wanted to eat when she was young. You know, she portioned her food, and so when she had the opportunity to eat, oh, my gosh, she ate. You understand? And she recognized that. She reached back, and she realized, wow, I eat the way I eat now because my mother would not let me eat what I wanted to eat when I was young.
Right.
And that's the whole fact.
Deprivation definitely will do it to a lot of things. You know, and what happens is people try to block out the traumatic experience. That's what makes them turn to drugs and stuff. They're like, I'm gonna erase this with this drug. I'll go get high and forget all about it. Not realizing that next day, When you coming off that high, that problem still exists in you. You still have it lingering in your head to where it's not going anywhere. You know what I mean? So people need that. They don't have that encouragement. Like, all right, I'm not going to say they don't have it. They're just not at that point to where they're ready to accept what has happened to them. You know?
Right.
So And like was said, there are different reasons why people may have different addictions. I myself, this is Great Queen speaking, I supervised a men's shelter. I have witnessed a lot of sexual predators, a lot of people, a lot of addicts, a lot of drug users, alcohol users, as well as people who, you know, just have had a bad, you know, bad experience and ended up in jail. Most of my residents that are supervised in the men's shelter had many issues with drugs, alcohol, and sex abuse. Sex offenders, Lord knows I cannot speak for those because the reason I can't fend for those, but I've witnessed several of them. But the drug abusers and alcohol abusers, an experience, there have been some who, I'm going to give one an experience, worked for a school district, was cutting trees or something or another, fell, hurt his back, did not want to sue the school district that he was working for because he had been there for a long time. Long story short, had a back operation, and then became addicted to the pain medication. And then once he was taken off of the pain medication, became addicted to drugs because he was taken off of the pain medication. Ended up being on, heroin, cocaine, anything that would numb the pain because he was not, you know, he had stopped working for the school district, was buying drugs. Anyway, this man ended up overdosing on my watch. I recognized the signs. There was Narcan, and I did, in fact, save his life. Thanks be to God. Another young man, this was an older man. He's still alive to this day. Fast forward to a younger man. He was just wanted to party. He was a troubled child, started off very young. He was abused sexually, mentally, verbally when he was young. Also had ADD, all sorts of, things when he was younger. Was on medication, off and on. Got kicked out of his parents' house at a young age, lived on the street. Turned to his friends, buddies, drugs. Fast forward at the age of 25, ended up doing a crime in jail. Came to the shelter. His birthday came. He was using constantly and partying. He wanted to party one night for his birthday. Ended up partying, overdosing. He was not on my watch. He was at some friend's house. Ended up overdosing and dying. So there are different reasons, different, you know, rhymes or whatever that people become addicted to different things. Like we said, there's sex addiction, a gambling addiction, relationship addiction. There's all sorts of addictions. But the reason that we came up with the topic tonight was, you know, because of Michael Williams. And we decided to talk about several different addictions tonight. Anyway, the fentanyl. I want to speak about the fentanyl, this new fentanyl thing. I first came into contact with it. I was working at a nursing home, also in a nursing field. And my superiors were telling me, don't go into this one room. I'm like, why can't I go into this one room? This is the girl that's on my schedule for tonight. I need to take care of her. They advised me not to go in there. I didn't know why. They didn't tell me why. Long story short, her call bell was on. Call bell is the light above their room. That means go to her room and take care of her. I went to her room, and she asked for some pain medication and told me to tell her nurse. They knew what she was talking about. I had no clue. Long story short, it was a fentanyl patch. This was the first time I came into contact with fentanyl or ever heard of it. What happened was this girl was so addicted that the fentanyl patch that would go on her back where she wasn't supposed to be reaching it, she would find a way to take it off of her back, put it in her mouth, and suck the medication off of it.
Oh, God.
And get high off of it. She wanted the lights off at all times. Wow. She didn't want anyone in her room, anything. She knew that there was a new person on her schedule to take care of her. She knew that I was new, had never come in contact with her. She didn't OD or anything on my watch, but that was my first experience with fentanyl. Like 2 years later, now here goes this fentanyl thing that's in the heroin and now it's in the cocaine, and wow, oh my goodness, it has blown up. head is blown up.
That's crazy. Wow.
Sad. Yeah, sad.
Yeah, it is sad.
Mm-hmm.
It is sad because, like you said, a lot of people are not recognizing that they have a problem. And what happens is when they are confronted by someone else, then they become defensive.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I don't have a problem. It ain't this. I can control it. You can't.
Anybody
that's listening now, you can't control it.
And a lot of people that are doing heroin, they're so addicted to the heroin that being that it's being laced, which was heroin was one of the first things that I've heard that was laced with the fentanyl. They're so addicted to the heroin that they continue to do the fentanyl-laced heroin, and then they become addicted to the fentanyl. So it reacts in their bodies in certain, you know, different ways. It's sad watching these people, you know, they think they're addicted to one thing, but then they become addicted to another, and they accept that and know that it's killing them. You know, it's just sad. They just become so addicted. So sad. So sad. Myself, I'm addicted to flossing. I carry a floss, these floss picks in every bag, every pocket, every crevice. I've poked myself with them. One end of these floss sticks is like a toothpick, and the other end is floss. I'm addicted to flossing. I have to do it like literally 15 hours of the day. I mean, I'm not kidding. I literally go off if I don't have a floss to floss my teeth. Like, I floss my teeth to the point where my gums are bleeding because I've had a bad experience at a dentist. I've had a few teeth pulled, and I'm one of those people who develop, although I'm not a smoker, a lot of smokers are susceptible to what's called dry socket. I'm not a smoker. However, I'm susceptible to dry socket due to my immune system. So whenever I get a tooth pulled, I develop immediately dry socket, which is the worst infection, worse pain than the original pain before and during and after you get the tooth pulled. So I have to endure another 2 weeks of going to the dentist every 2 days, get a certain packing in my tooth and in the hole, and then taken out, and it's so painful. It irks your jaw, your neck, your whole shoulder, and everything, and it puts you out of your whole life. So I've developed this a good 5 times. So I make sure the few teeth that I do have left in my mouth are flawed.
You know what?
It's funny, but I'm so, I am, and everybody knows. Everybody who knows me knows that the few teeth that I do have, I'm like, look, I have to floss them because I lose those, the partial plates. My partial plates, I lose them. I lose them, and they're very expensive.
So just real quick, ladies. my question for you is, of course, you know that I'm going to take it back real quick, you know, to celebrity, like, you know, Whitney Houston, you know, rest in peace, you know, Bobby Brown, Bobby Christina, you know, like, I want to just talk about a little bit about, like, celebrities with addiction, you know? And the reason I say celebrities who have had addictions is, my question for you is, do you feel like the addiction comes from, like, something that might have happened, or do you feel like the addiction comes from, it's a coping mechanism to be able to deal with all that social media expectations and everything of life? Like, what do you think about that?
A little bit of everything. I want to say just really quick, there are so many different walks of life, so many rhymes, reasons, excuses, a little bit of everything. Whitney Houston, looking back, you could tell she was on something. Bobby Brown, looking back, you could tell he was on something. Michael Jackson, looking back, you could tell he was on something. You couldn't tell that Michael Williams was on something. However, if you followed him, if you really followed him, you could kind of tell. But he hit his very well. DMX, we knew. But Michael talked about his.
DMX is fast vengeance.
Pardon me, my Alexa is talking to me. Anyway, everybody has a different rhyme of reason, different excuses, different, like, literally. Some fame, fortune, couldn't handle it. Some became acquainted with a drug, couldn't handle it. There she goes with that coffin.
You know what? I hate to cut you off, Ray.
Mm-hmm. No, go ahead, Diva.
If you sit and listen to a lot of these, see, what people have to realize, with, especially with celebrities and stuff, celebrities, pastors, whatever, they're people first. They're liable to do anything like us normal Joe Blows. And what happens is they have the money. Most of them have the money to keep up with their habit, and then it becomes out of control. You know what I'm saying? So a lot of it is coping mechanisms because they said they're working 24/7 sometimes, you know? So, you know, do you blame somebody for that or what? No, you really don't, you know? The companies that they work for, maybe they should bring it down a little bit, but we all know what the common denominator is here. It's money. Money, period. Period. So, but they have, you know, they have a lot to deal with. That's like Michael Jackson, may he rest in peace. He needed his milk, which was the propofol. The propofol. Yeah. He wanted his milk because this is how he was coping. Nobody knew, really, until he OD'd. Nobody knew how he was spending until he OD'd.
I used to end up in some of his milk. But yeah, you're right. You're right. Definitely, definitely right.
You know,
there are some
trying to keep up with the masses.
I know. I tried marijuana. I tried it. It did not agree with me. Me and marijuana are not friends. Yeah, I tried.
How you set tripping?
Mm-hmm. You're crazy. You're so crazy.
I'll try. There are a few other things. There are a few other things I tried. I like, but I realized really quick. That I like that. That's not my friend. You know? No.
That's how addiction does. You like it? Anything that you're addicted to, you like it. It's not. You're not gonna be addicted to something you don't like. You're not living out.
I like penis. I like penis. I ain't going like I had to put that out. Addiction. We're talking about addiction here. I didn't say it. You know what I'm saying? I like it, but I know how dangerous it can be. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That orgasm, really. You know, I like money. I gambled 2 times in my life. I got beginner's luck, and I won $700-$800 my first time ever gambling. Did I like it? Yes. Did I become addicted to it? No. Did I try it again? Hell no, because I was afraid that I would lose that $5 that I spent on, you know, that first time getting a beginner's luck. There are certain things, yes.
Your little $5.
$5 I spent, and I won like $800. $5. But I'm like, nope, that was beginner's luck. I knew not to do that again. You know, same thing with certain other things. And, you know, I tried cocaine. I liked it. And I said, you know what? Ooh, I like that too much. That's going to be just like that gambling. I'm not spending on it. Nope. Mm-mm. Okay. See you later. You know? No. But that floor thing,
all right.
I'm sorry. I'm going to hold on to that floor thing. Y'all can hold me on that one. Accuse me of that floor thing. I'm flossing right now.
Those are strange addictions, you know. You guys,
I'm flossing.
But they have a show of my strange addiction where this lady was addicted to her husband's ashes.
Ooh, I saw that one.
He was what? Hold on, Ray. What'd you say? I saw that.
A lady was addicted to eating her husband's ashes.
You said eating the ashes, like eating?
Yes. Yes, from him. He was cremated. He passed away cremated. She was addicted to eating his ashes. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I can't even begin to explain anything like that. You know, I just, you know, I just got to keep it moving from that one.
I'm just like, wow.
Yeah, no, not going to happen. Sorry, folks.
Wow.
Yeah, so.
Deep in the ashes?
But,
yeah, I saw that one.
Eating his ashes. Yep.
Oh, my.
So, for anybody that's out there that is having a problem with addiction and is embarrassed, you know, a lot of times people are embarrassed to come forward, you know, to say that, oh, my God, I'm on these drugs. I need help, you know. If that's what it'd be. It'd be embarrassment. You call 311. Don't nobody know you on here. That's the New York hotline, allegedly, for everything. But
yeah, anonymous.
I don't know what state are you guys or whatever in, but there's options where you can call, you know.
You know, and
get yourself some help. Go to the nearest hospital and check in, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So,
there are
and
people
pray.
Who are addicted shopping addictions, hoarding addictions. I have family members, that are addicted.
Yeah.
I have a sister, and I've spoken about her before, and I'm not ashamed. You know, yes, she does need help, and we are, you know, and I've spoken about this as well. We are looking into doing some type of intervention. I have a sister who has a hoarding addiction. She hoards her house, and she hoards her car, and that was her coping mechanism. After her husband, she got married to this so-called wonderful guy. He ended up being a crackhead, ended up cheating on her. She ended up finding out that he had like 7 or 8 kids. And once she found out and he stripped her of everything, her credit, her money, her everything that she had, and then put his hands on her, she finally got the courage to leave him. But she picked up an addiction, a hoard, and it's tough for her. It's tough for her because she has two children, one who's in elementary school and one who's in college. It's tough. It's tough.
Yeah.
It's
that
tough,
sounds like,
you know?
She doesn't ever want
hoping
to lose anything again, you know?
Absolutely.
Exactly.
She doesn't. Right?
Yes,
and everywhere she goes, she's still looking for something. Like, I don't like letting her in my house because she sees something. She's, what's that? Oh, can I have that? Or, you know, she's a compulsive shopper. You know, she loves to go to, a lot of hoarders like to go to thrift shops and, you know, places like, they like to shop. And she does that. She shops online and she goes to thrift shops and anywhere she goes, she sees things. I'm like, I can't let her see my, you know, anything I have because she wants it, you know. It's that. It's that. Yeah. But we are here for her. We're here for anybody who needs us and, you know, and I need, you know, people to be here for me. If I come up and smile, or the half smile because I got half teeth, but if I come up and smile and you see my gums bleeding, you're like, look, Rachel, I try to make, I as serious as I am, you know, I try to make a smile and a laugh, but if you literally see my gums bleeding, know that I floss too much. Leave that floss stick alone because I go OD with this floss.
Lord, we're going to buy, get you some mouth guards.
No.
Yeah, we're gonna have to have an intervention for Rachel.
Yeah, because you know why? If you keep doing them with your if you keep forcing them to bleed, you're gonna cause an infection in your gum. If you keep doing
right.
the blood starts building up and it causes like gingivitis.
Yeah, I know.
And stuff.
Listen, there has been one time where the doctor said, "Oh, look, you need antibiotics." Yeah, I did cause an infection one time, though.
Yeah.
And the doctor said, look, don't just floss like a few, like 1 to 2 times a day, not like 10, 12, 20, no. So I did cut it down. I'm literally joking about the flossing, but I do love flossing. And if I don't have one floss stick I go crazy. I'm like, look, I got to go to the store. I will walk, ride my bike, do anything. Because I have to have one store sick in my house. But, look, if y'all see my gums bleeding, like I said.
The mouth guard. You thought I was on something. I mean, because that's the mouth guard.
Mouthpiece
is the one that they wear in boxing
matches. My daughter asked me 2 years ago, Mom, why every time you go to the bathroom do you brush your teeth? I hear you in there brushing your teeth all the time. I'm like, girl, leave me alone. Let me brush my teeth 5 times a day.
Yeah, listen.
But
on a serious note, though, for people that are, again, that are addicted, that's listening, that are somehow trying to change up your habits, you know, even if it's, listen, Rome wasn't built in a day. We know that, metaphorically speaking, y'all know that. You know, just change, if it's one thing, just change that one thing, you know, and you can't fix it all at one time if you got more than one addiction. It's not going to happen. All you're going to do is double up the next time. So, you know, just whatever your biggest thing is, like, all right, today, if I usually smoke a pack of cigarettes a day, I'm going to smoke half a pack a day. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to try to cut that down. And I'm just using these as examples. You know,
of course.
If I drink, I'm only going to have 2 drinks today. I'm not going to sit until the bottle is gone. Or if I'm addicted to porn, I ain't going on the internet today. If my phone is dying, I'm gonna let the phone die so I don't watch porn. You know, I'm just giving scenarios, different scenarios, because these are real scenarios. These are things people actually go through. If you're addicted to helping people, you know, people can call you like, I can't right now.
Yeah.
That's hard. Believe me, that's a hard thing to do, because as
it
a person
tough.
That likes to help other people, be like, all right, I'll do it. Then your stuff goes undone. I can't do it right now.
Yeah. I think that's the hardest part.
I think that's the hardest part is when, you know, especially, you know, being, you know, adults, I feel like the hardest part is just accepting the fact that I can't do it right now when you're used to always trying to do everything, you know? And I tell people it's not that like, say I'm controlling, but it's just the simple fact that, like, I do feel like I could do, if I know that it'll get done if I do it myself. Where if you try to delegate to people, it doesn't get done, or it doesn't get done right, I get frustrated. So it's easier for me just to say, you know what, I'll just do it myself and I'll get it done, you know. Or my daughter can have a problem. Oh, let me see it. Let me see if I can do it real quick, you know, versus just waiting and stepping back and let them try to figure out, or talk to them to let them do it versus me saying, oh, let me do it real quick. You know, those are different things that definitely, it's a work in progress, because you constantly feel the need to try to fix not everything, but damn near everything that's broken.
Almost everything. And you know what that's called? You know what that's called, Lavina?
Yeah.
Oh, excuse me, Storm. That's called codependency. I got real serious. it's called codependency. Codependency is when you think you can fix everything. You don't know the art. You haven't practiced the art of no. Because that's me. I'm speaking for myself. I want to make sure everybody's happy around me. I don't want to be disappointing to anybody else. I don't want to let anybody down. And it's not even the fact that I think of what I'm worried about, what other people think of me, because I really don't. But I still, when my name, when they come to me, they were like, all right, they're entrusting me. So I got to make it happen.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know what I'm saying?
And you,
so that gets crazy.
And you also have to know when to draw the line as well. And time is of the essence. It's 8:49. You're right. I'm on a serious note right now. This is Ray Queen. 4 times I saved
lives.
4 times. No, but just really quick. 4 times I saved lives. I literally saved people's lives. However, there are far more times in the same site that I was working at that people have died, not on my shift, but they've died due to overdose, okay? Because the other staff were so strict, so hard, that they said, no, 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 no. You seem kind of off. I'm not letting you in. I'm locking the door on you. You need to go to the hospital. You I don't care where you go. You're not going. And these four times that I, and it just so happens that these, you know, 10 plus people have passed away. Not on my shift, not on my watch, but due to the hard, you know, people saying no, 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 other staff. Me, I let four people in, four people. I saved these four people's lives because I'm like, okay, they don't have anywhere else to go. Look,
but
we're under camera.
You know what?
We're being watched.
On that note,
I'm going to let you in. Uh-huh.
Thin line between no and,
yes.
And tough love. There's
yes.
a thin line between
yes.
no and tough love because,
yes.
first of all, y'all know coming to the shelter, you're not supposed to be getting high. You
understand?
Yes.
Now, right.
I mm-hmm. think my job, as well as your life, just to, you
mm-hmm.
know, to get high. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And then at that point, what's happening is we become enablers. We become enablers because, all right, you're like, all right, go, I'll get high. But they got the Narcan. They'll save me. I'm not worried about that.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what
mm-hmm.
I'm saying? So there's
yes.
a there's
yes.
a fine
but,
line between a no and you know stuff like that.
Right. Now we're talking
and,
when
and
I
honestly,
when I
feel like
got,
a lot of people feel. Go ahead, Ray.
Now we're talking when I first got Narcan trained because I didn't know anything about Narcan. When I got Narcan trained, I'm like, oh, I'm never going to need to use this. Never going to need to use this. Guess what? Within the first 2 weeks of me being Narcan trained was when I saved those four lives. One person, two times. One person, two
wow.
times. Now, number one, that person that I saved their life should have never been back allowed in the facility. However, that was not in
mm-hmm.
my control. They allowed this person to come back. This person apologized. Yes, thank you for saving my life. Da-da-da-da, cried all this, all that. Guess what? Next
mm-hmm.
time, I knew the signs, and I knew that he wasn't right. He was getting high. I'm like, look, you need to pack your stuff. You need to go because you're not acting right. I see you. Oh, no, I promise. Okay, I'm watching you. Do not lock any door that you go behind. And thank God he didn't lock any door that he went behind because guess what? Boom, second time. I saved his life. After that, okay, yeah, they kicked him out of the facility. But the other two times, you know,
see,
like I
think part of that, I think part of the problem with that though is that
mm-hmm.
not knocking any facility out there, but sometimes
mm-hmm.
some of the facilities are not equipped enough to handle.
That's what happened.
Things.
That's
not knocking
that's
it, like
happened.
I said, you know, but just saying that sometimes. They're not equipped enough because
they wasn't
to me,
ready for
I feel
it.
Like where there's a will, there's a way. And you may have been on your toes where you're like very alert and you're very observant. But technically,
mm-hmm.
when you're at those type of houses and stuff like that,
mm-hmm.
that type of setting should be better to where people you don't have to use the Narcan
yes.
there.
And Storm,
what about everyone else that you're triggering
yes.
by doing
and,
this to save this? It's like
and
I just
Storm,
feel like they're like it's
yes.
it's all over. You know, it's like you're causing people to
and
relive their trauma all over again for the same thing.
Yes.
And I just think that sometimes some of those homes are set up for the money. They're not set up to help people.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
And that, yeah, you hear me clapping my hands, right? And that's what it was.
Yeah.
And this was the only facility that had lives saved. We, I did get an award and $1,000, you know, money order for saving a life. And it's the only time that this happened in the whole facility, the whole, you know, years that this facility, you know, but, they weren't ready for it. They were not ready for this. So therefore they couldn't handle it. Guess what? Due to so-called COVID, that site then closed down. That site closed down after that because they weren't ready for it. They couldn't handle it. So COVID,
it's a lot,
due
you know,
COVID,
because, I mean, we're
uh-huh.
talking about addiction, we're talking about addiction tonight,
yeah.
You know, and we're talking about addiction and many different aspects of it. You know, there's still many things that's going on with the pandemic where there are people out there that who are now abusing more drugs than you know, ever that, you know, their result, and some of them are very depressed, you know, some of them are looking, you know, are trying to commit suicide. There's a lot of different things that go on with this whole pandemic and how it affects everyone and the different addictions that people might have, you know,
And I just think that we just have to be aware, you know, ourselves to someone that we may know, you know. And people, a lot of people don't say anything because they do feel like they're going to be judged, you know. Like, oh, okay, well, you know you're not supposed to be doing a drug, so why, you know, why? They don't want the lecture. You know, some of them sometimes, honestly, they just become used to that high or that numbness that they're feeling, and that's really what they want. And to me, I just feel like you have to want the help. Like, I could save your life 9 times, you know, and if you really don't want the help, then there's not really much that I could be doing. You know, I could continuously not give up on you. I can continuously be there for you, but at some point in time, you're going to have to want the help yourself. You're going to have to want it.
Amen. Amen.
Right. You're going to have to.
You have to want it more. You got to want it more than anybody, you know.
Exactly.
Amen.
Yep.
Amen. On that note, I'm closing my mic, Divas. Love y'all. I'm just listening. This is Bay Queen. I'm signing out. I'm listening, though.
How are you just going to check y'all one?
I was just about to say the same thing. Like, we usually do the same thing.
Okay. Well,
we go around, everybody give their final thought on tonight. So it's the same thing. We've been doing it for 99 years already.
Oh, my God. Well, am I going to tell the world that I need to use the bathroom? But anyway, Dons and Divas, we've come to the time in our show where time is of the essence, and we're going to go around and give our final thoughts on tonight's show. This is Ray Queen. Thanks for all our callers and listeners. Big up to GQ Palace, our CEO, our executive, my sister Divas, all the callers and listeners. I love y'all. Awesome show tonight. I'm passing on the mic. And Janine, are you there? We're going to give you a moment to give your final thoughts. Can I pass on the mic?
Yes. Thank you. What an awesome topic, as always. And I just wanted to leave with saying that, you know, when we come across people in our lives or in our paths of our walks of life that have addictions, you know, it's very important that we address them, deal with them for the spirit of love. You know, people don't want to get beat up on. They don't want to be treated like they're not good or not good enough.
Right.
So we always have to come and operate out of a spirit of love. And instead of giving our advice or our opinion, we can just simply grab their hand and offer a word of prayer that God would encourage them, that God would give them the strength that they need to deal with whatever it is that they're dealing with. But not for us to tell them what they need to do. Let God tell them.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yes, indeed.
Yes, amen to that.
And on that note, yes, Lord.
Yes.
Indeed, yes, that's
right.
That right there resonated. We have to start allowing God to go first. And if we don't know how to restore people gently, then you just have to separate yourself and keep them moving. You know what I mean? Because it's tough. It's tough on all sides, you know. But anybody that does need help, there's help out there. You know, find your local church, your hospital, you know, or a stranger on the street that's willing to listen. It can be anybody. It doesn't have to come from anybody that you actually know. Sometimes it's easier to share with a stranger than with somebody you know anyway, because you want somebody to listen without judgment. So, we just gently restore people. And like I said, pray for each other. Keep everybody uplifted in prayer. You know, God does work things out in his timing.
Amen to that. I definitely agree. excuse me, guys, my throat. But this is Girl Storm. It was a wonderful show. Definitely enjoyed the topic. We figured, you know, when we sat and we, you know, went over it, that it would definitely, you know, we'd be able to reach a lot of people with it. And I, you know, have done that tonight with the callers and listeners that are there. We do thank you guys for, you know, listening in to us and, you know, press that one button next time. But if it's, you know, sometimes it's just you listening and you just listening to the feedback of what we're giving you or the callers are giving you, our goal is just to help someone, you know, when we have the show every Wednesday. As long as we help somebody, we're good to go, you know. As long as we give you food for thought, something to think about, you know, as you're on that dark night by yourself. You know, we believe that we're just trying to, you know, open that avenue up for you and be able to reach, you know, as many people as we possibly can. So with that being said, have a blessed and safe week. Look forward to you guys next week, Wednesday, same time, same place, of course. Real quick, I do want to just give a quick announcement. Nonstop Media is having their event in Pennsylvania. So so pretty much what Nonstop Media is, just so you guys understand, it's Joe Santana. He has it. It's Superstar Saturdays, I think it is. And he's hosting it. I believe it's going to be done in, I think, Dubai. Dubai is the name of the club. And I believe it's in Philly. It's in Camden, New Jersey. And you can win $1,000. It's $25 per person. Excuse my throat. $25 per person, $1,000 you can win. $25 per person is just for you to get into the door. You do have to pay if you do want to compete. It's an open mic contest. Open mic, you come with your skills, you know, whether you rap, whether you sing, whatever you do, you do. You know, you definitely speak to Joe Santana. The number to call, I'm so sorry, I told you my voice was my throat was a little, you know, is 646-732-7251. So just make sure you reach out to him, or you can reach out to Rich Money on GQ Palace on Facebook or the website. GQ Palace is on. You can definitely reach out to him as well. And we're definitely looking forward to being in the building. It's September 18th, and it's 2514 Federal Street, Camden, New Jersey. Doors open at 7 p.m. Showtime starts at 9. 21 and over, ID a must. Great food, bottle service, and you better put on that mask, I'm just saying. They don't say that, but I just threw that in there about the mask. So I just threw that comment in there. We do have some special industry judges, Mr. Cheeks, DJ Cosmic, Kevin, Cuban Link. We'll definitely be in the building. So just check them out. Nonstop Media. You can look it up on Facebook, Instagram, Nonstop Media Group, Inc. So have a blessed and safe weekend, everybody. Look forward to you guys next week, Wednesday, same time, same place. God bless.
Can't tell me nothing, bossed up and not this game. It's my big bronze boogie, got all them girls shook. My big fat ass, got all them boys cooked. Huh. Run from dollar bills, now we popping rubber bands. Do no sense to me while I do my money dance. Like, hey. Stretching on the ground like, hey. Hit the little gun, okay. Oh yeah, we're dripping the finesse and getting paid. Ow.
Ooh, don't we look good together? There's a reason why they watch on that.
Shut the shit down on sight. That's right.
I hit you in the
know.